Well, on this Mother's Day, we speak about a basic need in the human heart that God has put in every person, not just a mother, but that is, there's an acute sense that God's put in everyone, in a special sense, a woman to feel secure. And she wants her children to feel secure and to be secure, and that they're looked after and they're taken care of. And the now, certainly that's true in a sense, both genders. I'm focused just upon Mother's Day. But, you know, part of that is part of the craving that can sometimes be found in a human heart, that we want to be in control. Because when we feel like we're in control, well, why do we crave to be in control? Because we know we have self-interest. We have self-interest, and you know what? We're going to look after the people, the things that matter to us, and we're going to take care of them. And so there is that sometimes can wreck a person's health. It sometimes can greatly harm the relationships. When you try to control an adult child, and it can demean but so here's what you got to back up and see. You know, yeah, there's this craving. It's legitimate. You know, the idea that you want what's best, and you want to take care, and you want to. But the truth of the matter is, you got to realize how out of control we really are. Can you really control the decisions of another? Can you really control the weather? Can you control the economy? Can you control ultimately even your own health? You really can't. But okay, what about, okay, if God's put that deep need in a human heart to be in control, how is it? There's one way that thirst is satisfied, and that is to submit to the one who truly is in control. When you're submitted to him, you can be secure because what? You're in control. When whatever concerns you have that are beyond your control and can wreck your health, trying to take care of everything that you really can't, you commit to him. He'll show you what your part is. You know, just some comforting verses that you all know. Certainly, we read one. You know, Romans 8, 28 and 29 says that God rules and overrules every day, every event under heaven, for the ultimate good of his people. And you know that, and sometimes we quote it, but if you deeply digest, okay, everything happening, good, bad, you know, is ultimately designed by the one who's ultimately controlled for the ultimate good of his people. So you say, God, what are you doing in our day when we're doing things as a culture that he clearly says is an abomination, and we're endorsing it and of course, we always remember this, that even on a National Day of Prayer, God's far more concerned with the sin of his people than the sin of the world. The judgment begins with the household of God. And so we ask God to work in our hearts. But it is disturbing what we see. And so we have to be reminded. I was just reading this morning, you know, not a new thought, but just... Some scriptures just take on new meaning when it says, okay, God is ultimately the one who sets down up a ruler, puts down a ruler. You know, who's he going to set up this time? We don't know, but we thank God that it's ultimately in his control. God is in control. I like Ephesians 1:11. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. So, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. He's the one that can watch over the things that are your concern. You know, Psalm 121. That's a great, glorious, because see, that's the heart of a mother. She wants to look after, she wants to guard her flock from all evil, you know. Well, only God can what? Never have to sleep, never have to slumber. In fact, God's word says he can work while you sleep. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain who build it. And he can work. He gives to his beloved even in their sleep. So he can work while you sleep. So sometimes when it's an act of faith to go to bed, even when an unfinished task, okay, God, I got to commit that to you, you take care of that. Or when you have concerns in so many different directions, and you can't be with everybody, you know, okay, Lord, I have to entrust that to you, you take care of that. Well, yes, the only way to really be secure is to be submitted to the one who is in control of all things and who has pledged to rule and overrule every event under heaven for the ultimate good of his people and to work all things after the counsel of his will. So when even seemingly bad things happen, and even bad things happen to you that injure, you know, the faith that we see in the often quoted from Joseph, you may have meant it for evil, but God wants to overrule it for good. God wants to overrule it for good. So as a right is, so the person who submitted to God has the right to say, God, what good do you want to bring out of this? What good do you want to bring out of this?
When you even think of a glorious occasion like a Mother's Day, not everybody's had a mother like you, you know. And sometimes that's a challenging situation. I mean, there's no one ever been a perfect parent. And that's what makes God so attractive. He's the perfect parent. But, you know, and you rejoice that he's ultimately controlled. And see, what is the good and perfect gift he gave you? Even some things, okay, that maybe they were imperfect. How does God even want to overrule that for good? God is so big. Now, I want to say, I want us to pray these four things, not only into every mother, but what would be the greatest gift to a mother is she wants us to pray these into her children, too. I want to tell you four simple truths that God wants to say to every mother, and God wants to say to every person. And so everybody's either a mother or the son or daughter of a mother, right? And God wants to say that to each one of us. So there's four things that would be our Mother's Day gift to every mother. And certainly a mother, the heart of a mother, she'd rather these God say these to her children than to herself, because that's the selfless, giving spirit of a mother. And the first one is the verse you memorized. If God could say to each one of us, our mothers and those that they care about and lay down their life for, that God is for me. God is for me. And that's pretty significant. I don't think you can ever hear that enough. God is for me. God is for me. Romans 8:31. God is for me. God is for me. Not everybody will be for you. There will be people that have malice against you. But God is for you. God is for you. And that was the statement, you know, that was the context of the Joseph statement. You meant it for evil. His brothers had malice against him. They were jealous. And when someone's jealous, I like that proverb says, wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? And the idea is that sometimes when a person's jealous of you, you really can't stand before it, but you commit it to God. God, you fight this battle. You fight this battle. You fight it. God is for you. God is for you. That's the essence of the grace of God. He's for you, even though in and of myself I deserve his wrath. But he's devised a way in his great wisdom that we celebrate that he took my wrath, that you could wake up every day and knowing that you have peace with him and that he is for you. He's for you. He's for you. The second thing we want God to say to every mother, we want to pray these into every mother's life, you know, and into her children. God is for you, and he promises you cannot be separated from his love. You cannot be separated from his love. Romans 8:38 and 39. You can't be separated from his love. He wants every mother to know that they are God's beloved. God's beloved. God's beloved. Sometimes a mother can be very hard on herself. Very hard on herself, and sometimes she can feel imperfections that may not even always be there, but she can feel that because she many times bears a responsibility so deeply. And sometimes we sons or daughters aren't as quick to praise them for what they do right, you know. So They need to know that they are God's beloved. Not because they've never made a mistake. Not because they've never sinned. But they are God's beloved because God, in His grace, has set His love upon them. And they want to enjoy that. And He wants them to enjoy that so they can overflow and give that also to imperfect children and imperfect husbands. God wants you to know that you cannot be separated from His love. So God is for you. You can't be separated from His love. And the third thing is this. God's purposes cannot ultimately be destroyed. God's purposes cannot ultimately be defeated. God's purposes cannot ultimately be defeated. The verse that was read in Acts, that came from the lips of an unbeliever. Actually, that was the rabbi that trained the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was the unbelieving Saul. And in the days of the early church there, it was growing, and they wanted to put it, wanted to do away with it. And the unbeliever was wise enough to say, look, if this is not of God, it'll just die out. But if it is of God, you can't defeat it. You can't defeat it. So, or else you'll be fighting against God. Now, yes, certainly that tells me that I want purposes that are God's purposes. If they're His, it's His battle. So, certainly many, many things on a mother's heart are certainly God's agenda. She wants the well-being of her children. Spiritually, emotionally, in every way, she wants the well-being of her children. So God's purposes cannot ultimately be defeated. This is true with anybody, but if a mother said, God, I want to believe You for this. And of course, any person can believe God. This is the most important thing, I think, to believe God for. Maybe I've said this before. Lord, I want to stand before You on Judgment Day. That God, and You send all the resources of heaven. I can't pull this off, but I'm believing You because I know this to be Your will. I want to believe You, Lord, when I stand before You on Judgment Day, I was blameless in love toward my family, toward Your church, and toward Your world. You can believe God for that. There's no greater thing to believe God for than that. That just one day staring at Psalm 9, verses 3 and 4, he says, when my enemies turned back, they stumbled and perished before You. You got enemies. You got spiritual enemies that want to destroy everything precious to you. But he says, why did those enemies turn back? And why were they destroyed? He says, for Thou hast maintained my just cause. Thou dost sit upon the throne judging righteously. There is a righteous one on the throne. So what are righteous causes you can commit to Him? I've told you the most basic righteous cause that every single person can commit to God. If you were to say, Lord, I commit my little life to You. Whatever, all that You've endowed me with, my physical energy, the days of my life, whatever gifts You give me, whatever resources You give me, I give them to You. And Lord, I ask that You rule and over it. Will send all the help I need in heaven, Lord, that You could what? Love Your world. You tell me, I'm not sure I know what love is, but God, You tell me that's the most important thing. In 1 Corinthians 13. So I want to believe You for that. Believe God for that. Believe God for that. And He will own that cause. He will empower that cause. And certainly I pray there's no greater desire on a mother's heart than to lay down her life to love her family. You can believe God's purposes cannot ultimately be defeated. Every enemy in heaven cannot what? Every enemy in heaven and earth cannot defeat that. So believe God for that. Believe God for that. Maybe in a difficult situation. Maybe sometimes when there's the pain, when your love is not received. Maybe when your love is somewhat even rejected. Or maybe when your love is belittled, you still can believe God. When somebody's in the picture crying out to God, and that's the suffering of a mother. That's the suffering. Of course, sometimes when a child is small or sometimes can be later too, but they're not even able to be able to say the thank you. God's purposes cannot be defeated. God's purposes cannot be defeated. In fact, God does not overlook any little thing, all the repetitive things that a mother does day after day after day after day. And if you do them, you got to do them again tomorrow. You know, but they get recognized by God. Do them under Him. Give a cup of cold water in my name. You'll never lose your reward. Never lose your reward. They know sometimes you're up in the night praying. And Paul says, God is my witness how I long for you with affection of Christ Jesus. God is my witness how I pour out my heart for you. God's purposes cannot be defeated. Now, there's one other thing, and that is this. And I want you to digest this very, very deeply. And it's this, that not only God is for you, you cannot be separated from God's love. God's purposes cannot be defeated. But fourthly, and this is the last thing, is that God will care for everything I put into His hands. God will take care of everything I put into His hands. You see, one of my favorite verses, I'm sure I've quoted to you before, is He's able to guard what we entrust to Him. He's able to guard what we entrust to Him, 2 Timothy 1:12. Able to guard what you entrust to Him. And there are things that are so deep on your heart you care about, but you have to go to bed. You can't stay up day and night. You have a human body like me. But you committed to God. God, you care for this as even I have to go to sleep. Talking recently, my wife and I were on a phone call with a dear lady who was going through a very, very serious, it was an operation that could be fatal to her, and she knew that, and she's recovering now, so it was very, very serious. As we prayed with her there on the phone, she said, I'm resolved. I can sort of trust God with everything, but the thing is, I don't want to leave my children without a mother. That was the biggest thing. And that's the verse, I couldn't fully understand that, but that was the verse I shared, that 2 Timothy 1:12. I said, your love for them is so intense and so wonderful, but they're even more secure in God's hands than in yours. And certainly I pray in every way that God would enable you to survive this, and you'd have the joy of seeing them grow up and all the rest. Even praying with someone on Friday, her daughter is a very serious stage, either 3 or 4, of a thyroid cancer. And she's just in her late 20s, and with a little child. But that's their prayer, is that, Lord, that my daughter would be able to see her little girl grow up and even see her get married and all the rest. That's the desire. Now, the husband had survived cancer. He was supposed to live 6 months, and that was 20-something years ago. So God gets the last word. But all we can do is what? Put whatever really matters to you, put it in God's hands. Put it in God's hands. And I appreciated the faith of that one on the phone, and even the faith of the one on Friday, putting it in God's hands. I remember it was, maybe you've heard Jerry Benjamin say this. We've taught a number of, it's been a while since we've done it, but a number of times taught classes together. He was my team teacher in several classes. And it was he, when he would be traveling, he has the Linda and then the one daughter, Katie. And when, at one point, they were traveling with him almost all the time, and so it would be more of the exception than the rule that they weren't traveling with him, but now it's hardly ever travel with him now. But at that particular time, he says, when they were not traveling with me, he said, I would sort of pray harder, saying, for God to look after him. And you understand that. Okay, I'm not with him. Lord, would you look after him? But one time as he was praying that, maybe you've heard him say this, he said, it was like God rebuked him. Say, who do you think takes care of him when you're with him? But that is very human, is it not? That certainly a mother can understand that. I understand that as a father. When your concerns are, when your little family's right there with him, you feel like, I'll take care of him. I'll fight anybody off. I'll look after him. But you really can. That story I've told you, if I probably told you more than once, but that was so driven home to me. And that was some over 18 years ago now, and because I know it, because my wife was not feeling well. She was pregnant with our third-born son, who's now 18, and I was with my two boys, and I've told you this story, and right, I mean, on top of them, basically. What was he? 5 and 7, and playing baseball with them. And I just bought them a new T-ball bat, if you remember the story I told you. And there was a batting net. Wheaton College used to play baseball right on that field. The field's still there. They don't play baseball there now. But right, they had a batting net on the third base side, so I could be inside the batting net, let them be playing and watching the game. And I mean, right on top of orchestrating every move they made. You know, okay, now step back. Now, okay, now it's okay to, you know. But right on top of them, orchestrating every move, and Will got back to swing, and inexplicably Michael moved forward, and you know the bat hit him, and just blood everywhere, and very intense third base coach, who was the head coach too, he in the middle of the game he ran over there to me. He says, "Man, we got to get you some emergency medical help," and so I got Michael in the car. I said, "Now, Will, your job is that Mommy doesn't need to know about this until Michael looks a lot better," and they and so we ran off to the got the emergency medical help, and sure enough, we got a call there, and Will was on the other end of the phone crying, said, Daddy, I'm sorry, she got it out of me. And but, you know, God was so good. If you studied Michael, you could see a little scar under his eye there, but it's barely noticeable. And obviously, you could see if it's been a little bit higher, it could have been a very tragic thing. And but the point is, right on top of it, I didn't keep it from happening. And I still feel emotionally more secure when my family's right around me. But you know, they're secure when they're in the hand of God. The hand of God. And sometimes you may have loved ones spread all over the world in the will of God. If they're serving, whatever. But if they're in God's hands, that's the greatest thing. Somebody crying out to God. And the prayers of a mother. Famous preacher Charles Spurgeon felt so secure in what the prayers of his mother. Sometimes I've told the end of that story, and that is, I felt so grateful for how God had spared my son. That was on a Thursday. And then on Friday, I told you the whole team came to our door, and they didn't know me really personally, but this was the Wheaton College baseball team. They came to my door with a ball we still have, they all autographed, and with a jersey, you know, saying, "How is your little 5-year-old?" You know, and so that was very thoughtful. And even the doctor showed up, you know, because he had left. His baseball cap had fallen off or whatever, so he brought that to us, you know. But then on Saturday, and you know, I've relived this with this coach many, many times. Even in a little book I wrote on faith, I write up this story, and it meant a lot to this coach the one who had came and gave me the emergency medical, helped me get the emergency medical assistance, and because they had that Saturday after that Thursday, they had a doubleheader. And it was very inclement weather. I remember learning this afterwards. They were literally the only baseball game, college or high school, that even tried to play that day, because it looked like it was just going to rain cats and dogs any moment. And they said, "Well, let's get the game." Anyhow, they did start it, and somehow they was able to finish the first game. And but here is the way they won it. They were behind 3 runs, if I've told you this story, and they literally hit a grand slam home run in the bottom, their last at bat, and they won by 1 run. And so they said, "Let's don't take much time between the first and second game. Let's try to get the second game off." The absolute exact same scenario. They were behind 3 runs. They hit another grand slam and won it. And now, as the man crossed the plate, it just came rang. cats and dogs. Just, and you know, they were so deliriously happy. They just had brand new uniforms. And so he told me, the coach said, the equipment manager got all upset with them because they just kept circling the bases, sliding in the mud. They were just so deliriously happy in that dramatic fashion. And well, that was on Saturday night as I was going to bed. I'd already done this. I was so grateful. And I happened to be meditating on the 1 Samuel 2:30. He who honors me, I will honor. And I said, Lord, I want to honor you that, you know, I'm going to church on Sunday and I'm worshiping you and I don't have a tragedy in front of my eyes. You know, my son's not blind or worse, the bat hit him and he's dead. But basically, he's pretty much unscathed. And so I called the pastor, the little church we were going to then, and I said, it would be okay if I just give a two-minute testimony. Oh, that'd be just fine. So I stood up and just said, I just want to honor the Lord for just his kind care for us. Even as we walked into that emergency medical help, I felt was just walking into the hands of God, and he looked after us. And so I did thank God for that. But it's also, I laid there Saturday night, I said, God, something strange happened on that baseball field today. And as I thought about, he who honors me, I will honor, I said, I've just got to find that coach on Monday and let him know that I believe God honored his team. I mean, just the strange way that they won. I mean, God doesn't always honor somebody in regard to wins and losses. I understand that. But this way, the dramatic fashion that they won, the weather was holding off. I mean, I just said there was something divine in that. And so I found the coach there on Monday where they were practicing, and I said, I just want to once again thank you for leaving the game and helping me. I want to thank you for even coming and checking on my little boy on Friday, those players that really didn't know him personally. And I just want to tell you, I think God honored your team on Saturday, the way that that won. And I remember him still looking right at me, and he says, God's Spirit is speaking to me. That's what the coach said. And, you know, there was when they had a reunion of that team, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I happened to see him, and I said, you know, I wrote up that little story in a little book about experiencing the joy of believing God, and so he got it, and he was going to get a little copy of each little book for the players to see what God's hand. Well, God will take care of what matters to you. Would you? And that's I'm speaking to my heart, committed to God, committed to God. Because you know what you really want is you want that what concerns you, especially the people that concern you, is you commit them to God. You want God to so work in their life that totally outside of your presence, they're faithful to God. They're faithful to God. You know, that so struck me, that one episode we have in our Lord's life in Luke 2 when he was 12. And there, evidently, coming back from the feast, they realized when they were back, he wasn't with them. They must have gone in a family caravan, large extended family, and, hey, Jesus is not with us. And I'm talking about here Jesus as the God-man, his humanity, left behind them there in Luke 2. He could be doing anything, but he was what? He was there seeking to use his time wisely, not because somebody was hovering over him. He was seeking to learn. Now that's pretty amazing when a 12-year-old has a thirst to learn. Being faithful behind the parent's back, well, we commit them to the Lord. You know, God says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. I know it's God's will that those four things that he write upon our hearts. I know that it's God's will that we would pray for every mother, that God would speak to your heart that God is for you. God is for you. That God would speak to your heart that what? You cannot be separated from his love. Romans 8, 38 and 39. That God, also his purposes cannot ultimately be defeated. That's from the Acts 5, 38 and 39. And fourthly, whatever you commit into God's hands, God, he'll take care of. 2 Timothy 1:12. May God speak that to you above and beyond and have the most wonderful Mother's Day that God could ever give you the, there'll be a time, you know, that your mothers like me will be in heaven. I don't have an earthly mother, no, that's in, but I thank God for the mother I had. And I still have her. She's in heaven. I'll see her again. We'll be reunited. And she was a very faithful, and certainly I do honor the memory of that, and thank God for that. So, you know, as long as your mother is here, you know, embrace that. And just be mindful of all the good and perfect gifts. No one will ever love you like a mother. Very, very special. And not that anyone's perfect, but it's still very, very special. The gift of a mother.
You know, just last night, and that's true, but this happens to be of a father, but you know, just to see,
we had a banquet there at our school. We usually have it concluding the semester. We have just one more week of school, but the there was a son of one of my students. He's a precious, precious lady. She's gone through a real heartbreaking situation. She has four children, and she worked so hard in regard. She's still doing a stellar job with those children. The father has sort of abandoned everybody. But the, you know, it's my wife told me, Penny, as we were about to leave, she said, you know, this is a boy. He's, you know, big, mature. He looked older than that, but he was a sophomore in high school, just finished his 10th grade year. But the he, you know, I'm sure the loss of his dad's a big deal. But the he had just experienced, he was with his dog, and he saw his dog get run over him right when he was with him. And my wife was talking to him. He says, you know, that happened to my husband when he was a boy. And she said, oh, could you just talk to, you know, now that seems like a, but you know, probably that dog was such a security blanket. You know, when you've lost, I mean, if you know what it's like to be attached to a dog, you know, when you've lost, the husband's still alive, the dad's still alive, but he's not really involved. So, you know, just the simple thing of just, I could see just, I relived that event in my life. I mean, the little dog, I can still see him crossing the highway and getting run over, and there was a deep, deep, and there was another one of my students. He was from Africa. He had experienced something like that. So just talking to that, now that seems so trivial, but my wife said, you know, just he needed just a father figure to tell him that he understood that, and just many times when you have that, you just sort of take that for granted. You've had a mother, you've had a father, and you have one. And you know, it is a gift of God. And so just be quick to just ask God to show you all those good and perfect gifts that come through us, through our fathers and mothers. The Lord, thank you for these precious truths. Thank you that you're for us. God, speak that to each heart. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and to our mothers that they can never be separated from your love. And Lord, thank you that your purpose cannot be ultimately defeated. And Lord, thank you that what we put into your hands is in good hands and it is secure. So praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hear the heart cry of every mother, Lord Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.